Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Haven Community Church. If you are a guest, we're so, so glad that you're with us. If you're looking for a church home, pray this will be the perfect fit for you. Mike and I will be in the lobby area afterwards, and we'd love the opportunity to tell you a little bit more about who we are, what God is doing in our midst. And we're just so, so glad that you're with us today. Thank you again, everyone, for the many of you who contacted me just to check and see how my family is doing. And as Mike mentioned, praise the Lord, they did fine through this storm. It was the most devastating hurricane in 37 years, and fortunately for my family, the eye of the storm hit the western part of the island. So Kingston, where they live, was not hit too badly. They had really minimal damage, and they're fine. But Jamaica was devastated, and there's a lot of needs there. Many of you have been asking, how can we contribute? How can we help? There is a on the screen here. Coming up soon, eventually, there will be a QR code. Get your phones ready. It's not there? Are my message notes there? My message notes aren't there? If my message slides aren't there, you guys, I don't know what you're going to do today. I didn't upload the slides. Are my message slides up there? Put it on the first of the slides. Wow, that's the first of them. I must have not updated the new one. Tell you what, guys, seriously, I will make sure it's in the weekly update, okay? That was my intention anyway. And if you don't receive the weekly update, put that on your communication cards as well, and we'll make sure we include you in that. We don't want to overwhelm you with email. Once a week, I send out a weekly update. Just here's the upcoming events, and I will include that link there for you. But there's some really wonderful organizations that are providing aid to Jamaica right now. And unfortunately, you know, whenever there is disaster, you have to be careful of scammers. You know, there are those who take advantage of disaster and essentially rob people. So just be careful who you send it to. One organization, the one I was going to send out today, it's called Food for the Poor Jamaica. Food for the Poor. You can look them up. And they're doing some really wonderful work in providing aid to Jamaica right now. So again, very, very thankful for all of you being right here. We are on the tail end of a message series that I began 7 weeks ago called I Am. I just didn't update my slides. I'm sorry, Rob. I sent the wrong set, but you'll be able to follow the message, and I'll get the link to helping Jamaica out afterwards. But, there are several reasons that I wanted to go through this series, one of which is I love the Gospel of John. It's my favorite of the Gospels. I love how the writer John describes himself. He calls himself the beloved disciple, or the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I relate to that, because I am the disciple whom Jesus loved, and you are too. But John was aware of that. He was aware of how loved he was by Jesus. And that is so key to the Christian life. And in the Gospel of John, there are several themes that you see running throughout the book, one of which relates to the number seven. Seven witnesses to Jesus, seven signs that he gives, and seven of these I am statements. If you're not aware of this, in Hebrew numerology, the number seven denotes perfection. And in his gospel, he relates seven of these statements that Jesus uses, where he begins with, I am. And he uses various metaphors to describe who he is. And as we've gone through these, my heart has been that I want us, as those of us who know the Lord Jesus, to recognize all these various nuances so that we can fall deeper and deeper in love with our beloved Lord Jesus. But not only so, you know, this year we've had this theme that says, you know, this gospel, it's too good to keep to ourselves, and we need to pass it on to our friends. And I don't know if you're anything like me, but there are times where, you know, I have a certain sphere. I mean, our spheres of influence are just so big. We have friends and relatives, associates, neighbors, coworkers, And, you know, they're strangers out there as well, you know. And sometimes for some of us, it's a little awkward to talk to a stranger. So we start with those people in our sphere. But you may have talked to those people and you've told them the good news that God loved you and me so much that he sent his beloved son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And people have heard that, but it's, you know, have become desensitized to it. But in this series, as we've seen who Jesus is, my hope for you is that you will gain more and more nuances of this Lord Jesus so that you can tell people more and more things about him. If you've missed any of the messages in the series, please go back and listen or re-listen. We're available on YouTube, and we have Apple Podcasts and Spotify and so forth. You can go back and listen to them and pass them on to your friends and relatives and associates and neighbors and co-workers. We're closing today with the Jesus statement from John 15, where he says, "I am the true vine. These declarations we've heard over the past 7 weeks are, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. And today he says, I am the true vine. If you are able, could you stand, please, for the reading of God's word? I'm reading John 15, verses 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that he does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. The word of the Lord. Jesus, thank you for your beautiful word. Thank you, Lord, for the power that you have given to your word by your Spirit, that this word is able to teach and to rebuke and to correct, to train in righteousness. That through your word, we have everything that we need for life and for godliness. And I pray today, God, as I preach your word, God, that your word would go forth with power, that would accomplish exactly what you have designed for it to do, to change our hearts, to change our lives, to draw us close to you by your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus, to help us to understand what it means to live in him. Speak now through your servant, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. As I have done with each of these messages, I think it's important for us always to understand the context of the narrative. And so it's the night before the cross. The meal is over. Judas has slipped out into the night, the one who would betray him. And so Jesus is now alone with his remaining disciples, and they are anxious, they're confused, their hearts are heavy, they're feeling fear and uncertainty. And in John 14, he's just comforted them with words and peace and promise, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And these words transcend time. They speak to us through the generations and speak to our heavy hearts even now. He assures us that though he was going to be leaving soon, he would not leave them alone. That he would send the promised Holy Spirit to come and dwell within them and to guide them into all truth and to remind us of his words, which is one of the reasons we have to get that word in us. And now as they leave this upper room and they're walking towards now the Mount of Olives, perhaps going through vineyards under moonlight, Jesus gives them this final picture to remember him by. He says these words in John 15:1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. You know, throughout the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, Israel is called God's vine and planted to bear fruit for God's glory. And time again, that vine only produced wild grapes. And now Jesus, he declares himself to be the true vine, the source of real life, the source of love and of fruitfulness. And so the Father tends the vine. He prunes each branch. And sometimes, you know, we're going through stuff in life and we're wondering, Lord, why am I going through this? And with a proper understanding of who God is and his purposes, we understand that it's the pruning that sometimes makes us better. As we go through difficulty and hardship, God uses it to shape our hearts, to increase our compassion for others, to make us more like his Son who understands suffering. And so Jesus and his disciples are now walking towards Gethsemane. And these words that he speaks grow increasingly personal and very, very practical. He says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it'll be even more fruitful. As we're going to see, that is one of the marks of the true believer. We grow in fruitfulness. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And what Jesus is saying is, it's quite simple, but it's very profound, that the Christian life is not about trying harder. So many of us have been deceived into thinking that's what it is. If only I do a little bit more, maybe I can win God's approval. But it's not about trying hard. It's about staying connected. It's not about what we can produce on our own, but what Jesus can produce through us when we remain in him. Now listen to these words. Now, listen carefully. I think I've highlighted it on the slides here. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. He's not done yet, okay? Verse 10, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. And just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. You think he's trying to tell us something? I think what he's saying is something like, you know, the main thing is the remain thing. I don't know if you were counting how many times. I lost track myself. But he's saying we need to remain in him. He wants them and he wants us to know, to understand that everything meaningful in life flows from being connected to Jesus. Hallelujah. Apart from him, our lives lose purpose. On the other hand, in him, they bear fruit. And this is the heart of this passage and the heart of the Christian life, to remain in Jesus. That word translated remain, some of your Bibles, some of your translation, you'll see it says abide, to live in him. You stay in him. So why should we do this? Why should we do this? What's the importance of doing so? Well, using this metaphor of the vine, Jesus gives us at least three key reasons why we must remain in him. Let's go back now to verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Verse 4. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine. You're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But check this out. Apart from me, you can do all kinds of wonderful things. No, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. And so what he's communicating it to us is we remain in Jesus because life is meaningless without him. It really is. Now, I know it's easy to read these words and, you've heard me say this so many times, what do you mean you could do nothing? I mean, look at all the accomplishments that human beings have done over the years. I mean, the very fact that we are streaming live. Some of you guys are watching me live in Jamaica, in Canada right now, in various parts of the world. I'm speaking from a tablet that I downloaded. I was talking to Rob about, did I upload? I have no idea. I'm an engineer. Do you guys know? I'm an engineer. I have no idea what upload means. It's just magic, And what do you mean you can do nothing? What Jesus is saying to us here is that these things don't last. The only things that really last are what we do for the Lord. If we can do all kinds of things, but quite honestly, these great human accomplishments are oftentimes just a distraction. Get onto YouTube, get onto Facebook, get onto Instagram. Just get distracted. Don't think about life. But life is going by, and unless we have it, a life that is in Jesus, it's really quite meaningless. Y'all quiet. I hope you're pondering this. Because, if you're just going through the motions where you get up, you go to work, you make a little money, you come back home, you turn on the TV, you go to bed, you get up, and you're just going through the motion. Oh, every once in a while, take a vacation, go someplace. But if you're not living in Christ, it really has no meaning. It's really a waste of a life. And most people waste their lives. Now, I'm speaking to you who have said yes to Jesus. We can't live like the rest of the world. We can't live ordinary lives. Those many things that we allow into our lives as distractions, they're meaningless. Life loses meaning without Jesus. He says, I am the true vine and my Father's a gardener. He says, I am the source of life. Everything good, everything lasting, everything fruitful flows from me, he says. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, this is not a call to despair. It's a call to dependence. It's an invitation to say, the metaphor. A branch can't survive on its own. It needs to be connected. I remember many, many years ago when I was living in Jamaica. Now, I have never experienced a hurricane myself. People think that, you live in Jamaica, you must go through hurricanes all the time. Melissa was 37 years after Gilbert in 88. Prior to that, it was Charlie in 1951. But there have been strong storms that I've experienced. And there was one in which a guava tree in the backyard fell over. It tipped over. And so it was no longer in the soil. It was no longer connected. And you know what my dad did?
Dad got a huge mound of dirt and covered over those roots so that it would remain connected. Every branch that came off of it, guess what? It died. But that tree continued to live, growing sideways out of the ground because it was connected. And this is what Jesus is saying to us. We need to remain connected to him. Apart from him, we're just like those branches that fall off and they wither and they die. If you're feeling a little withered right now, my question to you would be, are you connected to Jesus? We try to live apart from him. We depend on our own strength, our own success, our own goodness, those appearances. And to the world, we look great. All we're posting online are the wonderful things that happen in our lives. And then when we go on and we watch everybody else's life, wow, they're living life. And you don't know all the mess that they're going through. You don't know what's going on internally. The life that is life is found when we remain in him. He says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. But listen to this now. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is another key reason why we remain in him. It's the key to answered prayer, that we remain in him. He says again in verse 16, if you do not choose me, but I chose you, that whatever you ask for in my name, the Father will give you. Now, understand, if you're new to this thing called prayer or just the relationship with Jesus, or you're just exploring right now, God is not a cosmic vending machine. Put in the coin, get out what you want, right? God is not a formula. And prayer is not carte blanche. There are conditions to prayer. He says, if you remain in me. If you remain in me, you can ask whatever you wish and be done for it. And now even that remaining in the life of connection is not, okay, Jesus, I'm abiding in you now, so, you know, I want that lottery ticket that I just bought. Would you give me that $1 million? Okay, so Maria and I, you know, guys, I'm a big Columbus Crew fan. And this past week, we went down to the Columbus Library and had a little raffle going for, you know, two tickets for the game that's being played today at Crew Stadium. And Maria did an entry and I did an entry, and Lord, would you give me? But when you remain in him, it's not about what you want. You see, the more we remain in him, the more we understand this. My desires start to change. I understand when Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6, and, you know, he says that we pray, your will be done in heaven as it is in earth. We start to change our whole desires and outlook to say, God, I really am trusting you as a good God, and I am praying, Lord God, that your will be done. Because I'm trusting it's good. Because if I did win that crew ticket, I don't know this, but I mean, suppose I got on there and on the way down there, I'm in an accident. God said, no, I didn't want you to, because I'm protecting you from that. Maybe he's just protecting me from, you know, idolatry with the Columbus Crew. Who knows? I recently switched out my motorcycles, and the first week that I got my motorcycle, I took it to the track, mid-Ohio. And I pull it off the trailer, and the bike is dead. Nothing. I tried charging it. I couldn't get anything out of it. Took it back home, and very disappointed. Lord, I wanted to ride my bike. And put it on the charger overnight. Fires it the next day. It's been riding fine since then. But I'm like, Lord, I trust your sovereignty. Maybe you're protecting me from an accident. So we don't, this prayer says, ask whatever you wish. When we remain in him, we do indeed get whatever we wish. But you see, what happens is that we become our desires, and it becomes more for God's desires. And let my words remain in you, he says. So we got to get the word in us. Remain in Jesus, but it is the key to answer prayer. And let's go back now to verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And then verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. Verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit that would last. So he's talking about quantity, much fruit, and quality, fruit that will last. So we remain in him because it's the source of a fruitful life. Anybody here want their life to be fruitful? Amen. I absolutely do. I absolutely do. Again, the picture of the tree, you know, elsewhere in the scripture it says that Jesus said, you will know a tree how? By its fruit. And what are the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, the scripture says, there is no law. That's what God wants to produce in us. He wants to produce fruit that will last, that our lives, even when we leave and nobody remembers our names, have had impact on generations. That the people that we will influence around us will be impacted by that so that they will desire that same fruit and there will be a multiplication, fruit that will last. And so we remain in him because he's the source of a fruitful life. So that's why, but the question perhaps we should be asking ourselves is how? How do I remain in Jesus? And thank you, Jesus, that you've told us in this very passage how. Look at verse 9 now. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. You know, Jesus has loved you and me so lavishly. And we need to let that lavish love of the Lord overwhelm us. Elsewhere, you know, he summarizes all the law and the prophets how? Love God and love people. So we need to be able to slow down long enough to receive it and to put aside those distractions every once in a while and just to bask in his love. You know, we rush through life so quickly, and sometimes we don't even notice God's affection for us. He loves you. Did you know that? I mean, it's an overwhelming love. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gives his beloved Son for sinners like you and me, because he loves you so much. Parents, especially those of you who have little ones, would you give up your child for a sinful world? If you knew that if your child was to die for the world, everybody in the world would be just lovely and wonderful and the whole place would just be like heaven again. Would you do it? I've seriously considered that, especially when my kids were little. I mean, I think about my little Ava, my granddaughter, and I've gone, sorry, world. But God so loved you and me and this fallen world. We got to reflect on that. We got to reflect on the cross. You got to surrender that need within you to earn it, because you cannot earn it. There's nothing you're doing or will do or can do that will have God going, okay, now I love you. He already loves you. It's a matter of receiving it. And this is the importance of community. This is why we need to have one another in our lives where we can remind ourselves, because I forget sometimes and I need you to remind me of how beloved and how loved I am, and I have to do the same for you. We need community, and we need to let his words define us more than my wounds or my worries. What does Jesus say about us? He says, let my words remain in you, verse 7. You didn't choose me, he said. I chose you. Before the foundation of the world, the Lord saw you and me in our sinful state and said, I'm choosing this person, I'm choosing this woman, I'm choosing this man, I'm choosing this boy, I'm choosing this girl. That's what Jesus did. So we let his truth speak louder than our self-criticism. I'm catching myself time and time again. My girls have told me not to do this. I'll do something really stupid. I go, I'm such an idiot. You ever do that? Or worse? What does God say about you? Jesus looks at you and says, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. So put aside that desire to earn it, because you can't. And I believe that when we receive it in this manner, and I'm saying, Lord, overwhelm me, what he tells us in verse 10 comes a little bit more easily. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in my love. So he's saying, as I'm overwhelmed by God's love, I want to love you back, Jesus. How do I love you back? By living for you. By obeying your commands. By trusting that your commands are good and for my good. Jesus says his commands are not burdensome. Well, we make them burdensome. We make them seem like, that. Oh, this is too hard to do. And well, in your own strength, perhaps, yes. But this is again why we remain in him. As we receive his love, we understand that his ways and his promises are good. And Lord, I want to love you back. How do I love you back? He said, we love him back by living for him, by obeying his commands. Remember Peter's claim back in John 13:37? Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And then he goes to his flesh and he denies him. But then he's restored. And here's the blessedness. All of us have failed God. Every one of us. We've not loved him and lived for him as fully as we could or have or ought to have. But every day as he's drawing us closer to himself and transforming us, we remain in him and he overwhelms us with our loves. And we go, how foolish it is for me to live any other way but for your glory. So we live for him. We love him by living for him. He says then in verse 11, I have told you this, that my joy may be in you. Again, this is what the enemy doesn't want you to understand. The enemy wants you to think, oh, if I live for Jesus, it's going to be boring. It's going to be hard. People are going to look at me a certain way. And he says, no, I've come that you might have an abundant joy, a life that is full. It comes through obedience. It comes through our ways are not his ways. I want to follow your ways. Because when I do that, there's a joy in my life. I don't know about you, but those days that I have chosen to walk always in the presence of God and to put reminders and things that I would notice him, you know, to start my day with a journal saying, Lord, I want to notice you today in the middle of the day, stopping for a little bit and just looking. Those days, I get to the end of the day, I'm going, God, you're so good. This is how life is intended to be. And the days that I don't, I don't know, I just get weary. There's too much stuff in this world, too many bad things, too much division and politicking and disasters and things that can overwhelm us. But when we remain in him, he says, I have a joy for you. But then he says this in verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And that word that we've translated here, my command, it's in the singular. Again, elsewhere, he summarizes the law and the prophets, love God, love people. And those are not separated, by the way. If you say you love God, John writes in his first epistle, in chapter 4, he says, you know, anyone who claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Because if you can't love your brother or sister whom you've seen, you can't love God whom you've not seen. So we manifest our love for God, but he says, by loving one another. This is my singular command. Love one another. I wonder that I'm saying this right now. There's somebody in your mind that you're going, yeah, Lord, everybody but that person. This is not optional here. He says, you want to follow me. You want to remain in my love. You really want to experience my love? Love one another. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of people who don't seem very lovely, right? We can all think of people who are not lovely people. And those same people Jesus tells us to love. We're called to love. He says, love your enemies. To genuinely love people. My command is this, love each other. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Are you a friend of Jesus? I'd like to think I'm his friend and he's mine. I love the Lord Jesus. And so if I'm saying this, I can't say that in the same breath, not love you and love those people who are unlovely and love. That's the calling in our lives, my brothers and sisters. So we love others with the love we receive from him. That's how we do this. Everything I've been saying throughout this series, and everything I'm saying to you today, you can't do by yourself. You will wither and you'll die. But if you remain in him and let his words remain in you, watch God move in your life. What would it look like, church, if every one of us who call Haven our home said, you know, Jesus, I'm just going to believe your word to be true. I'm going to yield myself to you. I'm going to make it a point day by day that I am going to be in your presence. I am going to remain in you. And those moments that I forget and I fall away, I get to the end of the day and I do my examine and I look at my day and say, oh, Lord, you know, I missed you there. I missed you there. Lord, this is where I sinned against you. Lord, will you forgive me? And Lord, would you make tomorrow a better day? Thank you for your great forgiveness. Thank you for your love. Let me live in you. And we just practice this as a daily thing. I forget sometimes who I am and whose I am. And you do too. But it ought not be that when you think about the experience of the living God, that it's on occasion. It should be on occasion that I forget. Not that on occasion, God is here, he's real, he's in my life. He's the reason I live. It shouldn't be like once a week, oh, you know something, I really ought to live like this because Pastor Brian preached a good message. That's not why we do this. And it ought not be an occasional experience. It ought to be the norm for us. Now, here's the grace of God. We're being transformed and being made into the likeness of Jesus. And none of us have arrived yet, but you ought to be seeing the Spirit of the Lord moving your life. And there is a responsibility that each one of us have, because these are commands given to us. Now, it's not a passive life. I don't sit back and say, just do it, Jesus. I have to take action steps. I have to examine my heart and see, how am I treating people? How am I, do I just repost things because it stirred and triggered my own heart? Those are the kinds of things we need to be thinking about. How do I remain in you, Jesus, ultimately by remaining in your love and passing on your love? Because guess what? We can't give what we don't have. So Lord, even now, thank you so much, Jesus, for giving yourself to us. Thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit, through whom we have the supernatural power to remain in your presence. We ask you, God, for grace, that this would be our pattern, our daily living, that we would live for you and live in your love and show our love for you by showing our love for others. Lord, this gospel is indeed too good to keep to ourselves. Lord, help us to really believe that, to know how good it is, that we would be so overflowing that we would want to pass on your love to every person that we interact with. Lord, I ask for forgiveness and grace, that, Lord, where we have failed you here, God, we thank you that you are a loving and forgiving God. But I pray, God, for each one of us, that this word today, this series, these statements that you've made about yourself, God, that we would take to heart. And Lord, that we would live and remain in your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.